Welcome to the Women Get Real podcast. It's time for us to break free from the things that hold us back and spread God's love in a way that only women can. I want to thank you for joining us today, and I hope this inspires you to become all that God has destined you to be. It's time to get real. We are going to be talking about all things Holy Spirit today. Anybody who knows me knows that I'm a Holy Spirit girl, and I absolutely love to teach on the Holy Spirit. It's one of those things where I feel like it's one of those gifts that the Lord has given us, and so many people don't understand the power, the equipping that comes along with the Holy Spirit. So it is my joy to be talking about it with you ladies here today. For those of you who don't know us, I'm Jessica, and this is Wendy.
Hello.
And this is Ashlyn. She is summer interning with us, so we're so excited to have you here to sort of represent that younger teen population. So it's great to have you here.
I am so excited to be here.
So, one of the things that I really want to cover today is going into a little bit more depth about who the Holy Spirit is. Unfortunately, so many people hear about the Holy Spirit but kind of equate it to something that makes them uncomfortable, some kind of weird uncle who comes to the holidays who sort of sits in the corner. But the Holy Spirit is a gift that Jesus himself promised us and gave to us so that we can walk this Christian life. So I have a bunch of questions that some of you have kind of posed to us, and so we're going to go over those. So the first is, who is the Holy Spirit? Who's the Holy Spirit to you guys? When I say Holy Spirit, what do you think of?
A lot of things.
Yeah.
That's a loaded question.
I mean, we could be here for days if we did the teaching on the Holy Spirit. So we're going to try and keep it together and just kind of focus on some main points. But just the Holy Spirit as a person.
Yeah.
I guess that's the biggest point to kind of to understand, is that the Holy Spirit is a person, not some mystical force, mystical being, a feeling, an intuition, but an actual person who walks our days with us.
Yeah. I feel like when I'm teaching kids, I always make sure to let them know, like, it's a part of God. Mm. Holy Spirit is a part of God.
Fully
because,
God.
Yeah, fully a part of who he is, shares the same thoughts and intents of the heart, because I think that that's where it can get weird when you start walking with the Lord if your first step isn't knowing the Holy Spirit is a part of God.
Right.
It's part of him, you know?
It's the whole package.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's a good, I think just knowing that he's a part of God is like makes him trustworthy to people.
That's
to
right.
be able to explore that part of God a little bit more.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like when people talk about the Holy Spirit, for me personally, like the Holy Spirit is such like a comforter to me. It's almost like a feeling, you know, but like the Holy Spirit is a person. But like when I feel the Holy Spirit like around me, I feel like the protection and the comfort, and like that's just that person that's always with you to give you that like Holy Spirit conviction or direction. Like when I don't know what to do, I can always count on the Holy Spirit, and that's just like so comforting to me. So the first thing personally that pops into my mind when I think of the Holy Spirit is just like peace and comfort.
So the one thing that we have to remember is that the Holy Spirit is fully God, as we said earlier. He's eternal, he's omniscient, and he's omnipresent. So he has all the characteristics of God because he is God.
Yeah.
You know, if we go back to Genesis and we look at the beginning scripture, it says that, you know, we made God in our image to show that even at creation, even at the beginning of time, that God was a Trinity, that Jesus, the Son, God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit were there. So the Holy Spirit has been there. And if you spend the time and you go through the word, you will see all the attributes like you were talking about, like comforter and peace. But the Holy Spirit convicts. The Holy Spirit reveals things that we don't know. The Holy Spirit brings comfort. The Holy Spirit brings confirmation. The Holy Spirit gives direction. The Holy Spirit gives wisdom. There are so many attributes because he is a person. And to try and do life as a Christian, and I know a lot of people try and do that, they try and separate your salvation moment, and I know we talked about this a little bit earlier, from your Holy Spirit moment, or your Holy Spirit, you just cannot do it, because no one comes to Christ without the Holy Spirit's prompting. So the Holy Spirit is part of your salvation. And then to say, okay, but I'm a holy, I believe in Jesus, but that Holy Spirit stuff, I'm going to kind of put over there because it makes me feel uncomfortable. It actually, if you think about it, it's a little bit ridiculous, because the Holy Spirit is the whole reason why you accepted Jesus in the first place.
Exactly. Yeah, and Jesus, I mean, his whole plan, what I love about, you know, this is why it's important to really spend time researching and seeing what the Word of God says, because you can see this story unfold from the beginning.
Right.
And Jesus also was, his whole plan was so that he could release the Holy Spirit in a new way into our lives that he wasn't before.
That's right.
Like we talked about him, he's the bridge. He's the reason why, like, we can do what we're doing here on the earth. Jesus had to die, not just so that our sins, you know, could be cleansed and that we could be in right standing with God, but so that the Bible says the Helper would come.
That's right.
And like, that's so like, wow. Like, once you get past the part that you're like, okay, God has forgiven me, he's healed me, then you get to walk into this new stage that is totally because of the Holy Spirit. That's like, now I have a Helper who's never going to leave me.
That's right.
Now I can actually do the things that I would never otherwise be able to do.
Right. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, I can, you know, I'm a Christian now, so I can, you know, kind of do life without the Holy Spirit. But the question is, why would you want to?
Yeah.
Like, why would you want to go through any of that? Like, why would you want to do any of this life without the Holy Spirit as a Helper? I mean, it's a gift for a reason. It wasn't a burden. It was a gift. And it was something that God the Father knew we would need. When Jesus walked the earth, he was with who he was with, right?
Yeah.
So when he was with his disciples, or if he was in Galilee, or he was able to minister to those people. But when he died, he now sits at the right hand of the Father. And he sent the very Spirit of God to live in each one of us so that none of us have to go without him. Mm-hmm. So it seems...
Yeah.
Sad that some people wouldn't want to experience the Holy Spirit in their life to the fullest.
Yes.
And it's like, I feel like what you're saying, like, why would you not want to have that? Because I can't tell you how many times knowing the Holy Spirit is with me has helped me get through situations.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And like, it takes so much pressure off of you to try to be try to do life on your own, because now you're not just doing it on your own. Now you're in like a relationship where you're a team and you're doing things together, and therefore, like what the Bible says about, you know, you're stronger together. You know, one stranded cord can be easily broken, but when you come together with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, like, that's a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah.
And then, like, the trials and tribulations of this world just seem so much less, like, they just seem so much smaller, because now you're doing life together. You're going, you're going at it with a force, and you have a supernatural power with you everywhere you go.
You know, it's funny, just keep going back to it. Why would you want to do life without him? One of the things that kind of just sort of struck in my thoughts were, people are uncomfortable with things they don't understand.
Yeah.
So some of the scripture maybe regarding the Holy Spirit is a little bit confusing, not being able to control the Holy Spirit and how he shows up or manifests is unsettling. So that's why I love to teach on the Holy Spirit, because I feel like by bringing knowledge and understanding of who he is and what his role is, there brings sort of a sense of ease and comfort in the Christian's life to know that there's nothing to be uncomfortable about. Because I know, just sort of a little side story, I always hear people say, you know, I've been ministering to women for so many years, and all people say, well, I don't really want to let the Holy Spirit come in and speak to me because I'm afraid he's going to ask me to go to Africa. I don't know why it's always Africa. Yeah. I mean, Africa is a great place to go, first of all.
Right.
And second, like, if God calls you to Africa, that is the safest place to be. Like, you can be in your cozy house in suburbia, but if he calls you to Africa, trust me, you are safer for where God calls you.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think people are afraid of what they might hear or what he might ask. But, you know, there's just something so peaceful about knowing that God has our best interest in mind. So he's never going to ask us to do something that's going to bring anything worse upon us, you know?
Yeah.
So I think, though, that there is a fear factor, or just maybe a misunderstanding of who the Holy Spirit is, which makes people a little bit standoffish. And the other thing is that we as a Western culture are not very spiritual, in the sense that, you know, we're very theological, we're very studious, we like textbook, we like concrete. Mm-hmm. But so some of the Eastern religions who dabble in, say, the occult side of it, mm-hmm. when they see the Holy Spirit, they have the authentic, genuine realness of the power of the living God. Yes. And so they're so quick to dismiss all those other gods and like Hindu gods or mm-hmm. That they had, because now they've seen the real thing, the beautiful, glorious God. So for Western culture, it's a little bit harder. Mm-hmm. And you don't see as many maybe miracles or operating in the prophetic, because it's just something that's not part of our culture. Yes. So it's just something to think
about.
It's
like the Holy Spirit is mysterious.
Yeah.
He is mysterious. I think people, like God is mysterious.
Because he doesn't want to be controlled. Like there's no formula for it, you know?
But I think the other part is like, just because something is mysterious doesn't mean it has to be complicated.
Right.
Or that you weren't created to understand it. Like there are things about God, because we're created in his image, that they might not ever fully make sense in your head before you just have a knowing. Like, this is just right. And I feel like when you start to get to the Holy Spirit, when you guys create, it's kind of like that. It's like, sometimes you can even verbalize it, but you're like, he's mysterious, and this doesn't feel complicated.
That's right.
But it's hard to explain. It's hard to explain. And I love that your heart is to uncomplicate it, because that's the key, I think, is that you can honor the mystery of God.
Yeah.
And how, like, I think a good first step is to realize, like, this is not going to fully make sense.
That's right.
And once you accept that, and I think other cultures do that.
Well, I think that's the bottom line right there. Once you realize that you don't have control, you don't understand everything, but you're just going to understand that he's God. And he's going to, you know, and that's okay. And you're just going to let him have full reign. It becomes easy and uncomplicated. Life becomes easy and uncomplicated. Not without difficulty, but just uncomplicated and easier to understand.
I can even relate to like what you were saying before about how some people feel uncomfortable about addressing the Holy Spirit because they're afraid of what the Holy Spirit will speak to them or what he'll call them to do. Because like you hear crazy stories of people being in their, like, what they thought was their dream life, and then God being like, okay, like you said, move to Africa.
Sell everything.
Yeah.
All your earthly possessions. And
but like you were saying, like, God has the perfect plan for you.
Yeah.
And that shouldn't be scary, because he knows you better than you know yourself. Right. So I personally experienced that feeling of not wanting to know, like, what the Holy Spirit has. I'm just going to be honest, like, several times that I've been at, like, youth camps and everything, and the Holy Spirit, I just feel it in my heart, the Holy Spirit's trying to tell me, like, just let go of control, like, let me have control of your life, and you will not go without, you will not. And it's hard because, I mean, my personality, too, is very independent, very strong, very, like, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. But God's just constantly reminding me through the Holy Spirit, like, no, let's do this together. Like, let me lead you, I will give you the desires of your heart, and I will give you more than you can ever imagine.
Better than you planned.
Like how it says, immeasurably more than you could ever ask or imagine. And, like, I can imagine a lot, so.
And if you finish this script to the, you know, according to the power that is work within you, that power is the Holy Spirit. Power. I just wanted to finish your scripture.
But yeah, I can definitely relate to that feeling. But I will tell you, when I just let go of, like, trying to take control of my, I guess you could say, Christianity.
Yeah.
Because we do that sometimes. We try to, like, be comfortable. And once I just let it go, it's just, like, automatic peace, like, immediately. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, I don't have to, like, it's so much better to just let the Holy Spirit lead your life than to live a life fighting the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. You'll never have peace.
Yeah.
You will ever. Yeah.
Because we were all created for a purpose, and that was even before we were born. And no matter how hard you fight, I mean, there's going to be resistance, or you're just going to go. But like you said, it's better than you could plan or imagine. It's different. I mean, if Corona has taught us anything, it's that all of our best made plans can go out the window in like 2 seconds. Yeah. So life stopped, paused, and here we are. We're socially distant. We're measured so that we were proper and apart, but we still wanted to bring you a video.
Yeah.
But the thing that we need to understand is that he has a beautiful plan, but we can't do it without the Holy Spirit's help.
Totally. I would even go as far as, like, we were never created created to even do it without it.
Right. We all were born with a supernatural longing inside us, which is why some people go to the other side, because there is something inside every one of us that knew there was something supernatural, because we are created in His image. So we know that there's more. So we're going to go look for it. And if we don't teach people the Holy Spirit, they're going to find it in the occult, because the enemy is a counterfeit. So everything good and pure that God has given us, He has given the enemy, tries to give us a counterfeit of it. And unfortunately, so many people get caught up in it. But if you just trust in the Lord and put all your faith and your strength in there, God will tell you prophetically what's going to happen. He'll tell you how to prepare. Yeah. He'll tell you when you're doing something wrong. He'll show you the future. He'll help you minister. He'll help you in your job. He'll help you, you know, the sanctification process, which I know is a big Christian word, but basically just becoming more and more like Christ.
Yeah.
You can't do that without Holy Spirit power. How are we supposed to become more like Christ in our own strength? Because we just weren't created to do that.
Yeah.
So,
and honestly, like, I always remember this one sermon that my youth pastor, JC, preached, and it's just funny. But it's just funny how, like, certain sermons, just they just, like, stick with you. But he said something that I've never forgotten, and he said, we were created to have a master. We were created serve.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not going to serve God, you're going to serve something.
That's right.
And it might not always be, like, blatantly obvious to you, but like you're gonna serve something, whether it's your job, whether it's like whatever. But I mean, just knowing, like, if you're choosing not to serve God, you're also going to serve something else.
That's right.
So
even if it's yourself,
and you're not gonna find the satisfaction and the peace and everything that you find in God and yourself, because we're human and we're imperfect beings.
The ironic thing, I was just thinking when you guys were talking about this, the ironic thing is, like, we actually are created in three parts, too. You know, the Bible says we're created in
the
image, and we have a mind, a spirit, and a soul. And so I think, like, it's also so simple. Like, we are like, oh, the Holy Spirit can be so confusing, yet He literally created us in the same image. And we have those three parts, too. The reason why God sent His Spirit is because we have a spirit that was literally meant to connect to His. He sent Jesus in His physical body so that we could connect with Him. Like, these are all parts of us, you know, but I just think it's super interesting that the godly things are actually very simple.
They're just
very simple. And the Holy Spirit He's so simple. And He's literally He's the Spirit of God. Honestly, as we have a spirit.
Very fascinating parallel, because I've never really thought about it
that way. I hadn't either. Like, obviously, when you said it, I was like, wow, I never actually...
Yeah.
I mean, I know mind, body, spirit. I know Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But I just never... I never made the connection.
Yeah. It's really cool.
That's good.
I sense that.
Well, I didn't make it up.
Definitely resonates and makes sense, though, because, like, anytime you can relate something to yourself, it always makes more sense, because you feel like you get yourself more.
Right.
So, like we were talking about before, like, how to a lot of people, the Trinity is very confusing. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're all one, but yet they're separate, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if we try to, like literally break it down, it doesn't make sense.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But then you think about yourself and you're like, okay, I'm a complex human being and I may have a mind, body, soul, and spirit.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, that makes sense.
Right.
So why doesn't...
I mean, and people understand that even outside of the Christian world.
Right. It's not a godly, you know, principle. That's just the way we're made up. Because we could touch it, we could see it, we could understand it.
Yeah.
And so things we understand, we're comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I mean, I guess that's
the
bottom line. But, you know, it's interesting. So, you know, we talk about the Holy Spirit. We talk about His presence in our lives. We talked already about how the Holy Spirit is the one who brings us to salvation, because no one comes to salvation without the prompting of the Holy Spirit. No clever words. Nobody can minister to you into salvation without the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart. And once we invite Jesus into our hearts, that's really when the Holy Spirit can have His work, His handiwork in us. And that's when we are able to allow Him to make us more and more in His image.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we start laying down those habits that I would call the worldly habits. The sin starts to go away.
Mm-hmm.
We start the Holy Spirit starts to reveal things in our life that maybe is like some clutter and some garbage that we need to take care of. And it's amazing because what he's really doing is first the Holy Spirit comes, brings us to salvation. Then he kind of cleans us up to make us available and ready to be used by him. So basically the Holy Spirit comes upon us. He works in us so that he could work through us.
Yes.
And that's really what we've all been called to do, whether we've been called to ministry, whether we've been called to work in an office, whether we've been called to work in the home. All of us should be allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us. I mean, I know there was a period in my life when we were allowed to go into stores and not wear masks where I would be in Costco or the grocery store and the Holy Spirit would literally always drop somebody, you know, on my heart to minister to.
Yeah.
And that's really what he's asking. So no matter where we are, we have an assignment for him because people are hurting out there. People need God. And we're the very person that is going to bring God to them. We're going to bring them Jesus. They may never step into a church. They may never open up their Bible. But if we are available and willing and allowing the Holy Spirit to take residence in us and to be, you know, used by him, we're the ones who are going to bring the truth of Jesus to them.
Yeah.
And so
I like what you said there about, like, always staying open and, like, don't ever block your heart. Like, don't ever put up walls. Always stay open and ready to listen to the Holy Spirit and what God's trying to prompt your heart to do, because there are moments in every single day where God shows us something or he reveals something to us. But if we're constantly, like, blocking that, we're never going to really experience the fullness of God.
That's right.
And I actually was listening to this song the other day, and I had heard it one other time, but it's just, like, so powerful. And it's called Available by Elevation Worship. I don't know if you guys have heard it, but it talks all about, it says, like, I say yes, Lord, I'm making myself available, making myself open, I'm making myself available to whatever you want to do through my life. And my life is not just, like, a moment where I'm going to arrive. What you want to do in my life is every single day, even in the mundane, even in the mundane,
that's important to keep in mind, because we're all looking for those Holy Spirit moments where we're out in the public and we see somebody sick and the Holy Spirit prompts us and we lay hands on them and then they're immediately healed. And that happens. And it's happened with me. The Lord has put people in my heart that have had cancer and I've prayed for them and they've been healed. But sometimes it's just in the mundane. Sometimes it's the Holy Spirit saying, hey, go make a meal for somebody. Or, hey, can you just pick up the phone and check on somebody today? Just give them a call. They're feeling isolated or lonely, or they just really need an encouraging word spoken into them. And so we can't always look for the big moments, because remember, the whole point of the Holy Spirit, I'm just gonna get a little teachy for a moment. So the whole point of the Holy Spirit is so that we can really be effective ministers for him and do our part, right? And so our motivation, though, should always be to bring glory to him, never to focus on us. So if you're always just looking for the big moments, if you're like, I call them like Holy Spirit seekers that are always like looking for like the revival or the big outpouring, and you're not like in the word daily and you're not looking at, then you're really not bringing glory just to him. You're really about trying to like elevate yourself. But our motivation should always be love. And so when we're doing the things of God, we've just got to remember that it's all about him. It's always been about him.
Yeah.
And because some people who like the power side of the Holy Spirit, and we'll get into the power in just a couple of minutes because that's something we really need to talk about. If they are pursuing power and not Jesus, they're going to get themselves into some big trouble. And I've seen people who have started off with the best intentions who are looking for, you know, to be used by God, but get sort of trapped up in that power and that, wow, did you see that? Did you see what I did? Did you see what I did? And when you start saying words like, did you see what I did? That's when you know you need to check your heart.
Yeah.
Because remember, you're just a pawn. And I hate to say it like that. And maybe that's not the best, but you're just a pawn in the bigger
thing. There's a part of that principle. That's why I think the sanctification process is like, it's so beautiful, it should never end. And it's also like, I don't know if it was like this for you guys, but when I first got saved, that beginning walk with the Lord was so special and so beautiful. And literally my life was really only about knowing him. Like there wasn't really, it wasn't to the place yet where I was about telling people, but it got there because the sanctification process, like you can't skip it, because that's where I think you fall in love with what the Holy Spirit can do, because you're like, well, what he did in me, Yeah. Like, this was, you know, I'm
there's an exuberance, right? Like, look what he did to me. I want you to experience. I mean, it's like kind of like when you have a good meal. But you know, like
exactly.
when you're eating like this delicious meal, you're like, you have to try it. It's so good. Like, you just want to share it because it's so good. And it's the same way. How much better is Jesus than a good meal? But I know you like food, but.
But like just like the little things. In life, honestly, I was listening to this, I was watching this documentary show, and this girl was talking about how she came from like a really rough background, and she just like had thoughts about ending her life, and like, and I could see like so much potential and beauty in her from like a viewer's perspective,
right.
But like, you don't understand what certain people struggle with in their own time, and she said something that I just like, it really spoke a lot to me. She said, when I would go to school and walk up and down the halls, if one person would smile at me, that's what would get me motivated to keep my life, to keep living. And so, like, if the Holy, if you're open to the Holy Spirit,
right,
and you let the Holy Spirit speak the littlest things, like smiling to someone,
right,
that could save a person's life. Like, that's not a little thing. That's a big deal.
Right, but we, on this side of eternity, we may never know what the simple, like, you know, you look beautiful today, or wow, what a beautiful smile you have to somebody can really play in the, like, the narrative of their life.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I think that's also why it's hard for people to continually dialogue in a relationship with the Holy Spirit right now, especially in America and, like, the world that we live in, because your grandmother always said, he's like, everybody's moving so fast. But it's so true. Like, you know, there are days where I'm like, oh my gosh, my mind has been so loud. My life is so loud. Ministry is so loud. I literally have to sometimes, like, I need an hour. Or, like, I'm not on my phone. I'm not, I just need to be away. And to, like, it takes time to even, like, silence my mind quiet enough, get rid of the clutter, to be able to hear the Holy Spirit.
But it takes, it literally is like a discipline to say, okay, like even this morning, I mean, I was just getting ready and I was trying to pray out, and my mind was thinking about all the things that I had to do, and I'm like, this is not good. Like, I need to quiet my mind down. So I was like, all right, so if I could just get in. But it took me a while to really get in to like that place where I was listening and hearing and connecting with him. But it feels like sometimes it gets harder. Like,
yes.
That's
what I felt last night. I felt like I went up to study on Holy Spirit, brush up on some things, and just remind my heart and my mind. And I felt like the Lord was just like, don't open your Bible right now. Don't put on any music. Just shh. And I so needed it. It was so refreshing. Because
sometimes it's the best.
I actually, like, it's one of the things, I think I was talking to you about this not that long ago, but, like, one of the things that God's always been reminding me to do is to have those moments where you're like, your soul is quiet and you're still. And some of the most powerful things can happen in those moments. But something that my Bible teacher said to me that really, like, another one of those moments that just sticks with you is, he said, the Holy Spirit is not going to force his way into your mess that's going up and your busyness and your craziness. He's gonna wait for you to be still, and that's when he's gonna speak to you. So if you are desiring to hear something from the Holy Spirit, or if you're desiring to hear more from God and to have a deeper connection, like, we have to be intentional and take the action on our part to really be still. That's why I love that song. I know it's old, but like the song Be Still My Soul, like, there's so much truth to that song, and it's such a good reminder for us to remind ourselves, like, we should be practicing that daily to have, even if it's like 5 minutes, God isn't limited to a timeline.
That's
all
right.
He asks is for us to take the initial action of quieting our souls.
And he wants quality, not necessarily quantity.
Yeah,
I mean, I know that's what we say in everything, but, you know, when you talk to husband or your mom, do you want her on like the phone like this while you're talking to her? No.
Yeah.
Like, do you feel like you're being heard?
Yeah.
No. So God doesn't want that time with us either. You know, he really wants a time where we're like undistracted. And it may take some time to get there, and that's okay. The beauty is that everything we do to draw close to him, he helps us get there.
Yeah.
So we don't have to do it in our own strength, which is
the
kind of cool thing about, again, the Holy Spirit power.
Yeah.
So back to that power word. So I love it because, you know, in this movement, especially with women, we want to be women of power, we want to be strong, we want to be strength. And I always say that Jesus was the first one for, like, the feminist movement because he was so pro-woman. And one of the ways he did it was by giving us Holy Spirit power. And if we look at the life of Jesus himself, he was born as a baby, as a human, right? He laid down all his godly rights, and at the age of 30, the Holy Spirit came upon him when he was baptized in the Jordan River by his cousin. It looked like a dove kind of descended upon him, and the Holy Spirit came upon him. Now, he was still living a godly life before that, but when that Holy Spirit power came upon him, that's when his ministry launched. That's when we started to see the miracles and the healings and the anointing that came upon him.
Yeah.
And if Jesus, who is God, needed the Holy Spirit to minister effective, I always say, how much more do we who have sin in our life need the Holy Spirit more so that we could be effective ministers of his word wherever we, you know, carrying it wherever we go.
Yeah.
You know, not all of us are pastors, not all of us are in full-time ministry, but I firmly believe that all of us are called to ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And we need that Holy Spirit power. But, you know, God has given us some tremendous tasks that he wants us to accomplish in our life, some ministry-based, some personal-based, some family-based. And he's also given us the power to chase after that, and that comes from Holy Spirit power. The Bible, if you look at the original, like the Greek, the word, it's dunamis power. It means dynamite. I mean, like, when you think about that, he didn't just give us power. He didn't just, like, give us, like, this little cord that I plug my phone in and it takes, like, you know, half an hour. He gave us dynamite power, which means that we have the power to go out and take authority. He gave us power to lay hands on the sick. He gave us power to claim our destiny. He gave us power over the enemy that we don't need to be, you know, like a slave. He gave us the power to break strongholds. He gave us the power to speak the word. He gave us the power to know. I mean, Jeremiah says, if you want to know what the future holds, just ask me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of people are looking for answers. Just ask. He's going to show you.
Yeah.
But he gave us dunamis power so that, and you said earlier, so that we could go out and do immeasurably more. I have it hanging in my kitchen hallway there, and I, as a reminder, because I love Ephesians 3:20. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more, that's when you said it, that we can ask or imagine. I mean, I have a good imagination. You know, and so he wants to give me more than that. So can you imagine a woman who is so submitted to the Holy Spirit, what she can accomplish? I mean, or to a man. I know we have a lot of men following.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't want to move you. I mean, this is for all of us. That's why, I mean, I don't want to just make this all about women, but it's just our women's ministry. But do you imagine what we can accomplish? Like, if we were just solely in step with the Holy Spirit, like if every day we woke up and we just said, what do you want to do today? Like, what's on your heart today? Like, what do you want to accomplish in me? Not, I mean, I always, self-admittedly, I'm a type A personality. I have an agenda. I have a to-do list. I have what I want to accomplish. And that's great. That's how God made me. However, if he comes in and he said, nope, we're doing this today, guess what? We're doing this today.
Yeah.
I can guarantee you his ways are going to be a lot more fun and a lot more effective. So, but I mean, think about that if we just decided to live the life that he really designed us to live.
Yeah, I mean,
think about
that. Set Jesus apart. I mean, there's parts, you know, in the New Testament where it literally says that they marveled at him. And we're like, when you speak with the kind of authority that nobody has ever spoken in before.
That's right.
Like, that's the reason why it was so controversial, that he was so confusing for people to understand. Because they were like, when you get up, you're literally carrying. And what's so cool is that for them it was new.
Right.
They'd never seen the Holy Spirit move in a man like it.
That's right.
It did in Jesus. But Jesus literally said, hey, this is now for you.
That's right.
Like, that's so cool.
You know,
we get to have that.
His whole ministry, when he was with his disciples, he kept saying, listen, I have to go away, but I'm sending another. I'm sending that comforter. Go away for the gift. Like, in the beginning of Acts 1, it says, you know, I want you to go pray and wait for the gift my Father promised, and then you will receive power from on high. And they do. And so we see, and I love it in Peter's life. You always hear me talk about Peter. I have like a little fan club. I don't know what it is about Peter. I see a lot of Peter in me. inevitably Peter comes out. But so, you know, Peter like is like, the church is going to be built around Peter. Then he goes and denies him 3 times. He's like feeling like, I've just blown my whole destiny. It's done. Like, there's nothing more, right? And Jesus goes and gets them, like brings them back, restores him. They go in Acts 1, they're in the upper room, they're all praying together. Incidentally, I was in Israel this summer and we were where we thought it was. Such a cool place to see the open air and how that might happen.
That's
just
cool.
A little side note, but
how
the Holy Spirit, there was a little kid who was throwing little fire bombs on us that we were trying to, I don't know. Just a little, that was a little bonus. Any case, the whole, so 500 are there, right? They're all waiting. They have no idea what this gift is. I mean, we know what it is, but they had no idea. But there was 120 that remained faithful and stayed and prayed. You know, everybody always forgets about that 380 people who left and didn't stay the course waiting for what God had. But 120 stayed, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they began to speak in tongues. Yes, we'll get to the tongues in a minute. They began to speak in tongues, and now they're filled with the Holy Spirit. And now Peter, now filled with the Holy Spirit, stands up in front of the multitude and preaches, and 3,000 people become saved that day.
Yeah.
Like, that's a new Peter.
Yeah.
What's the difference in Peter?
Yeah.
The difference in Peter is the power of the Holy Spirit.
And like, can you imagine if we just really locked into the Holy Spirit and we did something like through the Holy Spirit that monumental, like 3,000 people in one day?
I know. I mean, that would be
crazy.
One salvation call in the church.
That's
like Easter on steroids.
Yeah. And there's no reason, really, why that couldn't happen.
There is no reason. And that is happening in places because they're allowing the Holy Spirit to manifest. But it has to be coming from a people who are so hungry to seek the Holy Spirit and allow Him to manifest and to do His thing.
Yeah,
it's true. And also, I feel like it's happening in people in places where they're okay with, like, I don't have to meet the standard before I let God use me.
That's right.
Because I feel like that's all, oftentimes, or, I mean, when I think
you've only been a Christian like 6 months, you certainly can't be doing that.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm so thankful. Like, I think back on moments in my life, I'm like, I'm so thankful I didn't wait till I felt like I deserved it or I knew enough. Because, like, oh my gosh, what I would have missed out on.
Right?
If I would have waited for that to be, like, God did His own supernatural things and had me be able to hear from people that I don't know what they know. I haven't walked through what they walked through, but I've been in, like, He's put me in places where, like, I can listen to that. I can catch that. Even though I've never, maybe I don't know what they know.
That's
so,
but that's
so
okay.
That's what I love about the
Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit knows it all. So whenever He's going to meet you, He's going to meet you.
So cool.
God's going to have His way.
Yeah.
That's right. And so I kind of gave a little speaking in tongues, and I know that makes people feel very uncomfortable. And I think that's like the, oh my goodness, you're one of those tongue-speaking people. And I'm just kind of like, why is that so weird? You guys do some weird stuff. Like, this is the thing that you're going to, like argue over? Like, people do weird things.
Oh,
do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know why this isn't a cultural, like this isn't a cultural norm. Do you know what I mean? Like, I always am baffled by it.
Yeah.
But, I prayed about it once, and I thought, it's because it requires us to submit a part of us that we like to control. Because we're all about control, right?
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. I mean, maybe not everybody, but I mean, that's an area that I've fought a lot, is the control piece of it. And I always say, people have two problems with Christianity. Ready? Tithing. And speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
And it's because tithe is your money and your work, and you don't want to give it. But in reality, and this isn't a tithing teaching, but we can save that for another podcast, it's God's money that He lets you keep 90% and He's trust you with. And it, you know, and it says test me in it.
Yeah.
But it's a submission, and same thing with your tongue. You need to submit your tongue. And it's not like all of a sudden you're like possessed and you're like speaking in another language. You're the one speaking, but you are submitting to the power of the Holy Spirit. And what I love about speaking in tongues is that it is a private language between you and God, where it's just yours. I remember growing up and having like these little secret languages with my friend. We would talk. I don't know. We had this little thing add a Z before every bottle, and we didn't think anybody could understand us. I mean, now that I listen to it, I'm like, ooh, wow, we really tricked the world with our secret language. But speaking in tongues is prayer guided by the Holy Spirit. So when you don't know what to pray, when you don't know how to pray, when you want to draw in and you just don't have the words. I mean, I've been so many times where I've been so empty and I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Praying in tongues has been a gift for me because it is Holy Spirit-led prayer where I can pray the perfect will of God pray in alignment. And then I can tell you with certainty that every single time that I pray in tongues, I feel equipped, I feel better, I feel peace, I feel like something that seems so difficult now all of a sudden makes sense, something that I couldn't see in the natural that the Holy Spirit has revealed, but it is my language just to God, and like nobody else can take it.
Yeah, I feel like you almost feel renewed after praying in tongues, like, because the Holy Spirit was literally like upon you
right
in that moment, and like with such a holy being, like you feel right. Like you feel washed, you feel cleaned, and you feel like God just took your battery that was running low and
just recharged it.
It's so not human like. I feel like when you get saved, you have to come to this conclusion. Like, I'm either going to live by what this world and this worldly kingdom,
right?
Or I'm going to live by the kingdom of God and His principles.
Yeah.
And when you settle that in your heart, then I think it's easier to understand the principles like speaking in tongues. Because the reason why it's weird is it is kind of weird in this natural world.
That's right.
We live in a fallen world that is run by the enemy, right? But the kingdom of God and its principles, that's what's really the truth.
That's
right.
You
know, that's what's really the right way to live. And so it actually only feels weird because of the world that we live in.
That's right.
But it is a kingdom of God way of communication. It's like His system.
It is. And it's like, who are we to question His system?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I heard it said, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, it's like buying a pair of shoes. The tongues just come with it.
Exactly. No, it's true.
Like, I'm sorry, but it is. Like, it shouldn't be like a make or break deal. And I think people are fascinated. But if you read in 1 Corinthians, I think it's 12 or 14, I can't remember, but it's a sign to unbelievers, because when you see that, and you, like, that's cool. Like, to me, like, so wait, you don't know? I mean, you don't know what that language is, and you're just able to speak it, and you're speaking to God? I mean, that to me is pretty cool.
Yeah, like, takes them out of the natural. It takes them out of what they know.
And it's a gift for everyone, even though people say, because there's some confusion in the scripture, because there's the filling of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of the manifestation of speaking in tongues, and then there is the spiritual gifts, like talked about in 1 Corinthians 12:14, which I think that will save maybe for another time, but that, because that could be a teaching all of itself, and that's to me another area where I love to teach. But one is where God uses the tongue to where God speaks through us, where there's always an interpretation, and then there's the evidence of the Holy Spirit's indwelling, where it's just you're speaking to God. So one is for everybody, where we speak to God, and one is a gift where the Holy Spirit deems it necessary, where He speaks through us.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? I didn't mean to cut you off.
Okay. What I love about the gift of speaking in tongues is something I don't always realize is that the power of our words and how much the enemy is always listening.
Mm-hmm.
So when we just like out loud, when we proclaim our struggles or we proclaim our fears, God's listening, but so is the devil.
Yeah.
And so sometimes, but like the gift of speaking in tongues is like guarded.
That's
like
right.
The enemy can't interpret it. He doesn't know.
That's right.
And like you can share everything with God through that language.
That's right.
Without the enemy hearing it, and without that becoming an opportunity for the enemy to
that's
gain something.
Point.
It's a tool.
It truly is a secret language.
Yeah.
Like, you know, not my like language.
Exactly.
But it literally is, because what we need to understand is that the enemy, you know, yes, he's the prince of the air, and he can come in and he could speak lies and all those things. But he isn't all-knowing. Like, he does not know everything. He only knows what we show him by our behavior, by our tendencies, by our habits, and by what we proclaim with our words. So if we're declaring it. So we really don't want some things to even be spoken out loud sometimes. I mean, even prophetic, how do I explain this? Like, things that the Lord has revealed for my future, I don't want to say them out loud, because I know the enemy doesn't know them. That's something that the Lord has entrusted me with. And if I were to speak them out loud, like, I know that anytime the Lord gives us an assignment, well, the enemy comes in, you know, to try and do everything he can to keep us off of our destiny.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's like you said, you keep it quiet. So when we're praying in tongues, the enemy has no idea what it means.
Yeah, I love that. I used to always tell the kids in children's church, I would always say, it's like having a special tool in your tool belt.
Yeah.
It's like, when there are going to be certain moments that this is the tool that you need.
That's right.
And nothing else is going to do what that can do. Like, I look back on moments in my life where people were speaking in tongues and God revealed what he was saying, that I'm like, if we did not know that, like, just a quick story, my sister, I remember she was going to, she had two friends invite her to go somewhere. One friend wanted her to go to sleepover, and another friend wanted her to go watch a movie. My parents were out of town. And I remember that she was like, I don't know which one I'm going to go to. She said yes to the girl's sleepover, and then last second, she canceled. And she was like, you know, I'm going to go with my other friend to the movies. Well, at the exact same time, my parents were living, or were working in Chile at the time of the Bible school that week. And out of nowhere, they just got this overwhelming feeling like, we need to be speaking, like just the Holy Spirit. They all just began to speak in tongues. They didn't know why. They just said, we need to pray for Rachel. We need to pray for her. And it come to find out the next day, those girls at that sleepover, someone actually broke in and abused them, sexually abused them. A couple of girls were raped, one was beat, and this is real. Everyone likes to talk about the Holy Spirit, but it is real life. Like, it affects, it's literally oftentimes the Holy Spirit's like, this is life or death to get this information.
That's right,
to you.
That's right.
And in that moment, my parents knew the Holy Spirit was prompting her to go a different route, and it didn't touch her.
Yeah. Wow.
That's the difference. Why wouldn't you want that tool in your tool belt? You know, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you the things that you do not know.
Right.
And that there are so many times in this walk that, like, man, there are things we need to know that we wouldn't know otherwise.
That's right.
And the Holy Spirit wants to be able to reveal that to
That's
us.
Right.
So when you can get past the weird part of it, the thing that, you know, stops
makes you feel uncomfortable, okay.
Yeah.
You get past
it. When it comes to life or death, especially once you become a parent, and I feel like that's become a tool, even, it's added so much more value to
goodness.
Because I'm like, oh my gosh, there's going to be so many unknowns.
I can't even begin with it.
I'm
tired.
Sure.
You're telling how many times that has been
a helpful tool, a nudge, a friend,
why'd you go check?
Those kind of promptings. And again, I don't know why you want to do it. Now, I know a lot of people, we've talked a lot about the power of the Holy Spirit. We've talked about who he is. We've talked about it, the role in Jesus' life. We've talked about the controversy around it. But a lot of people may be wondering, okay, that sounds great. Now what?
Now what?
I'm saved, but I don't really have what you're talking about. I don't have that infilling of the Holy Spirit. Well, it's very simple. It's just a simple prayer. It's just asking the Holy Spirit to come upon you and fill you. It's just, you know, a lot of times we think we have to go up to church, and that's an effective means, so don't misunderstand. And people will lay hands on you because it's scriptural that they will lay hands on you. And Paul went to, all throughout the churches, and he was preaching about the Holy Spirit, and he was laying hands on them. But you at home can just ask right now that the Holy Spirit would come upon you. You know, when we close in prayer, we can do that for you. But the Holy Spirit will come upon you. I have a funny, quick story. I taught Bible studies, oh my goodness, for like almost 20 years now, and I always loved to teach on the Holy Spirit. And we were teaching about just solely on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the infilling, the praying. We went through the scripture walk of his power and why. And at the end, they said, listen, if anybody would like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, like, we'd like to preach with you. So it was a group of women, you know, maybe 15, 20 women, I don't remember exactly. And so we were praying for some women. A lot of people were like, yes, you know, I know the Holy Spirit's tugging at my heart. I want this. And we were praying for him. Well, one of the moms in the group, especially early on in my days, she had to go nurse her daughter.
Yeah.
And so she went in the corner of the room and she just started to nurse her daughter. Now, she saw that we were praying, but she didn't want to miss out. So she just, like, you know, maybe 15 feet away, extended her hand, was nursing, you know, talk about a mom multitasking. and she just started praying for the woman. Well, I didn't realize that she hadn't been filled in the Holy Spirit. Well, right there, as she started praying for the other woman, she starts speaking in tongues right there, like nursing her baby. Like, I know everybody has like a different story about when, but to me, that's my absolute favorite story.
Yes, awesome.
Just right in the natural form, her heart was hungry. She was praying for another woman, and the Holy Spirit, like, just was like, boom, right upon her right there.
Oh, I love that. My best moments this past year, truly, some of my best moments, because it's been a very hidden year when you have a baby and you have a newborn and you're nursing. Now you're like changed to that should be a little bit in the beginning. And my best moments have been in the Spirit, praying in tongues while nursing. I don't know what it is. It's just something special.
Yeah.
It's like a special time. And it's like so, like when I would almost do it every single time she'd go to bed because there was something so soothing. That's how I knew, I'm like, wow, this is so beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm speaking in tongues and she just kind of. It's like she could feel the heavenly part of it that's not natural. And boom, she'd be right asleep. And God showed me so much during those moments of private alone nursing rooms. It's funny that you say that because it's so special.
But like I said, I've heard a lot of people's stories about how some of them, like mine personally, I don't even remember the day. I just remember asking one day, and then one day I was praying in tongues. I was young. You know, I grew up in the church. So for me, it was just kind of like a part of it. People were speaking in tongues all the time. I never even thought it was weird.
Yeah.
People were getting healed, and they would be in my living room, and I would just like be stepping over them. Like, I'm like, ooh, excuse me, I'm just going to go. It's just a part. So that, like, it was never weird to me because it was something that I just was around. So I know it can be uncomfortable for some people, but for me, it was just like one day I didn't speak in tongues, and then the next day I was just praying and I started speaking in tongues.
Yes.
But like my parents, I think they were at a prayer meeting and they came home and they were praying. They were like, yeah, they were new Christians, so hungry for the things. They just were like, we want all of it. Like, we want all that's coming to us. We want every part of this. If we're in, we're all in. Like, we're just like, either we're in it or we're not. And the curtains blew up in the room and a gust of wind, and they started speaking in tongues. I'm like, that's so awesome. I still like my nursing story.
That is really cool.
How about you? Do you remember?
I do. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit while at camp. And I think it was actually my first year at junior high camp. And I can totally relate to that feeling of being scared, because anytime you're opening yourself up in a vulnerable position
and people are watching
to go somewhere that you've never been before, it's scary.
Yeah.
Because especially, like you said, when you're like a personality type that likes to know what's coming next and has everything planned and knows how the outcome's going to be, but like, when you just don't expect it, you don't really know what to expect, it can be scary.
Yeah.
But it also, when you kind of like disconnect from your human emotions and you get out of your head about it, and you're just like, you get down to the basics, which is just like, God, I want more of you. I want more of you in my life. I want that power because I know you're going to do great things through me, but I know I need your help, and I know I need the Holy Spirit to be with me. All of a sudden, you're not really thinking about, okay, like, how do I speak in tongues? You're thinking about just all the great things God wants to do in your life, and it just, when you, it just happens. Like,
that's awesome.
It just does. And honestly, actually, for me, it happened when I was praying for someone, because I felt so passionately about this person, what they were passionate about. They were, felt called to be missionary. And I just knew that that's what God had for them. And I wanted to pray for them. And so I just laid hands on them. It was kind of loud. There was a lot of people around. So I didn't really feel like people were really looking at me. And I just checked out and was just like praying like that the Holy Spirit would fill them. But then at the same time,
like that woman nursing, she was praying for someone.
I was filled in that particular individual, if I remember correctly, was actually filled the same night too. So I was like, yes, two for one.
So I mean, the bottom line is that God wants to give us this gift.
Yeah.
He doesn't want us to walk this life alone. He wants us to experience the fullness of Him in every area of our life, and that includes the Holy Spirit. You know, as I said, we can go into spiritual gifts, and I really feel like that's another topic for another day. But God has called us to be out in the world, and there are marriages that are hurting. There are financial struggles. There are people who are sick. There are people who are just caught up in sin and pornography and addiction.
Yeah.
They need a touch from God, and He wants to use us to be the carrier of that. Again, always to point everyone to Jesus, never to self-exalt. And our motivation should be love, just like His, because there is a hurting world. But I encourage you, ladies out there, if you have not experienced the Holy Spirit like we are talking about, we would love to pray for you. If you want prayer, message us. We would love to pray for you. If you can comment underneath this video. But we are so glad that you joined us today. We loved getting real with you. We loved talking and sharing our hearts with you. And we pray that you would learn to just experience the Holy Spirit like we have experienced. And so I just want to close in a quick word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for our time where we can come together and grow in your truth. I pray right now for everyone every individual who is watching this video, who would like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that you would come upon them supernaturally right now, Lord. Remove all fear, remove all hesitation, remove any obstacle that is keeping them from experiencing the fullness of Christ. I pray right now for a supernatural touch and anointing to fall upon them. In Jesus' name we pray. Well, God bless you, ladies, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us today. A special thank you to all of those who generously give to this ministry. To give now, go to womengetreal.org and scroll to the bottom of the homepage to make things like this podcast possible. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends. If you want to hear more, consider liking and following us on Instagram and Facebook. Thanks again for getting real with us.